The U.S. military says today that soldiers battled enemy fighters near the Iraqi city of Karbala, killing 20 to 25 members of a militia led by Muqtada al-Sadr. What's unusual about that statement is that the U.S. military publicized a number of enemy fighters killed. During the war in Afghanistan and the initial invasion of Iraq, the military avoided giving so-called body counts. In 2002, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld told reporters he didn't track enemy dead. General Tommy Franks said, "We don't do body counts." And General Peter Pace said it had been a mistake for the United States to give body counts during the Vietnam War.
Having been a rifle platoon leader in Vietnam, asking questions from Washington about how many dead today is truly counterproductive and can seriously negatively impact the safety of our forces on the ground.
But on several recent occasions, the U.S. military has offered estimates of enemy fighters killed. Brigadier General Mark Kimmett spoke Monday in Baghdad.
Total roll-up over the last 24 hours from the numerous engagements in Sadr City resulted in 35 enemy killed, 2 enemy wounded, and 4 coalition soldiers wounded who have been returned to duty.
While Secretary Rumsfeld spoke in an interview last week,
"My guess is that coalition forces probably in the last 3, 4, or 5 weeks have killed 2,500 enemies. That is to say, former regime elements and terrorists and people who've been opposing the coalition in different parts of that country."
Military spokesmen say the Army always does a battle damage assessment, and there is no formal policy on whether or not to announce it in public. To learn more, we've called Michael O'Hanlon, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Why did the military stop giving body counts after the Vietnam War?
Well, there are a number of reasons. One is, of course, that it makes the whole enterprise sound even more macabre, which it obviously is, but there's not always a desire to talk about it, to emphasize how many enemy we're killing. That may actually make enemy populations feel more angry at the United States if civilians are part of the mix. And, of course, it's the wrong metric for progress in a counterinsurgency. That's perhaps the most important reason of all. That in Vietnam, we talked about this as if it measured progress towards a victory, and, of course, in the end, it did not. And therefore, there is a very clear realization that even if you're killing a lot of the other side, you may not be progressing. So why dramatize something American citizens may not want to hear about and enemy population, enemy citizens may really resent?
Why do you think the military would offer what appear to be body counts on a number of recent occasions in public?
I think they want us to know that they are indeed winning some of these firefights that have appeared so negatively in the American media coverage, as in fact they should in general. I mean, I think these have been obviously horrible body counts and firefights to be involved in a full year after the fall of Saddam. It's not a very pretty picture, but at a minimum, we want people to know that we're making some progress and actually targeting insurgents or targeting dedicated resistance fighters and prevailing in some of these engagements. It may not spell strategic victory, but it's better than tactical defeat, and I think that's the point they want to drive home.
Michael, does this say something about the kind of war that the U.S. is involved in here? You can't quantify progress by saying you captured a city or moved the front line forward or anything like that.
Well, that's true, Steve, except that in Desert Storm, for example, which was a little bit more of a traditional kind of war, we didn't want to talk much about enemy casualties there either. And so I think the lesson of Vietnam really permeated the military throughout all kinds of engagements, and people just decided this was not information that was in our best interest to try to publicize at the official level. Sometimes the Pentagon will cooperate with or help with information that is gathered by private groups, and there have been a lot of individual data points in coalition provisional authority briefings over the months about how many people were killed here or arrested there or both. We've been tracking these at Brookings, and we have a lot of the data that we've managed to piece together, but they don't want to, in broader strategic terms, draw conclusions from that data, and they don't want to be seen as in the business of gloating over or excessively focusing on enemy dead.
And in a couple of seconds, are body counts reliable?
They're better than not trying. You can probably be right within a factor of 2 or 3 or 5, and have some sense of whether this war was worth it. You're going to have to try to figure out if we're killing fewer people in this engagement than, of course, we're killed in the Saddam Hussein period. So at some level, you have to try.
Mike, thanks very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution.